Jiva Vega, Udara Vega, and Upasta Vega. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow we'll start, we'll do verse 2, in the first and second day. So please read that verse purport this evening, mm-hmm, before you come tomorrow.
So we'll read a few verses from Srila Prabhupada's purport after we read the verse.
Vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udara pasta vegam etam vegan yo visahita diraha sarvamapi mam vidiryam sasishyat.
A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger and the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. Srila Prabhupada begins speaking about this first urge, this vachaveg, in page 4 of his purport. And he says, first, one must control his speaking power. That's a very significant sentence. Rupa Goswami, he's given us these things to help us to get out of the meshes, the mire of material entanglement, the mire of material consciousness. And the first thing that he mentions is vachavega. Because this vachaveg is the thing which causes us the most trouble. And it's the beginning of all the other troubles. Srila Prabhupada says that every one of us has the power of speech. As soon as we get an opportunity, we begin to speak. We like very, very much to speak. If we do not speak about Krishna consciousness, we speak about all sorts of nonsense. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice analogy. A toad in a field. Sometimes during the rainy season, you hear the frogs, the toads, and they're making so much noise, calling for a mate. But what is his kata? It has no meaning, it has no value. The only thing that the toad or frog's kata is accomplishing, he's calling the snake, please come and eat me. So the kata of materialistic persons in this material world is like that. They're simply calling the snake of death to come and eat them. Mm-hmm. And we see that people in this material world, they have unlimited subjects that they want to speak about. Mm-hmm. Sukadeva Goswami, he tells Maharaj Parikshit, Sota Vyadini Rajendra Ninam Santi Sahasrasaha. Sahasrasaha means hundreds and thousands. Apashyatam Atmapatatvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. These persons, materially engrossed persons who are blind, they're Apashyatam Atmatatvam. They're blind to knowledge of the real self. They haven't slowed down enough to try to think about, who am I? And why am I here? Why am I suffering? And in fact, they want to avoid those kind of subjects. There's one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, his name was Stumbha Prabhu. Very, very expert preacher. Very, very learned. You know Stumbha Prabhu from America? I don't know, I haven't heard from him in many years. I don't know how he's doing, but if you ever hear his tapes, he's a brilliant, brilliant person. He was a literature major in the university before he came to Krishna consciousness. And he told a story about just how, just before he came to Krishna consciousness, he was in the university, and he was starting to become a little inquisitive about the meaning and purpose of life. He wasn't feeling satisfied with the answers he was being given in the university. And just before he became a devotee. So around that time in the university, someone invited him to come to some nonsense party, where all the boys and girls are mixing and they're drinking and smoking and talking and like that. So he didn't feel very much a part of things because he was becoming a little introspective and philosophical. So he sat down by himself off in some corner, just sitting there. And after a little while, some pretty young lady came and sat down next to him and started talking about all kinds of mundane things, and she's just babbling on and on. This and that. And he thought, oh, this is nice, she's coming and being friendly, so I should also reciprocate and say something to her. So he just expressed what was on his mind. He said, Have you ever thought about death? Like this. And his girl, she stopped. She looked at him. She said, "You can't talk like that here. You'll spoil the whole party." So, materialistic people, they don't want to think about the meaning of life. They don't want to think about death. And to keep their mind on other things, they just babble on and on and on to distract themselves from these very serious subject matters. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he speaks about the Mayavadis. And how the Mayavadis, he says, controlling speech, however, does not mean self-imposed silence, the external process of Mona, as Mayavadi philosophers think. Silence may appear helpful for some time, but ultimately it proves a failure. So there's a class of persons who are transcendentalists. They're not materialists. They're not interested in this material world. And they see the uselessness, the petty kata of general people in this world. They just want to blab on and on and on. So they decide, better I take monabrat. I'm not going to say anything. But Chanakya Pandit, he says that balam mukasya monidvam. That this mona, this is a strength of fools. Murkas. People who don't have anything better to say. We, all of us, may have had the opportunity to meet some very advanced Vaishnavas. And sometimes, some of them, they speak on and on and on. They don't stop talking. But they're not speaking the kind of kata that the frog is speaking, calling the snake of death. They're speaking very nice kata. They're speaking hari kata. And the gopis, they address Krishna, tava katamritam tapta jivanam. That your kata is a different kind of nature. Your kata gives some relief. That's one meaning for this verse. There's another meaning also. Anyway, your kata gives some relief for the fever of this material world. Everybody has this fever. No one wants to slow down and try to think about what is the meaning of life. And to cover up for our very distressed situation in this world, they're talking on and on like anything. It's like sometimes if someone asks us a question that we can't answer, then we change the subject. We say, have you heard any good stories recently like this or that? And we change the subject matter to some other thing like that. Because we can't face that question. So materialistic people are like that. So Rupa Goswami here in the beginning, he's speaking about the necessity of controlling our tongue. And he says, a preacher of Krishna Katha is always beyond the clutches of death. This is a bit of a paraphrase to Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 3, Text 17, where Sukadeva Goswami says, Ayu harati vai pungsam, udyan astam yayan yasau, tasharte yakshano nita, uttama shloka vartaya. Both by the rising and the setting of the sun decreases the duration of the life of everyone, except that person who utilizes his time by discussing the topics of the all-good personality of Godhead, uttama shloka, vartaya. So we should do that thing. We should control our speech. This control of speech is also an important element in the yoga's process and in all different systems of spiritual life. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, in his Govinda Bhashya on Vedanta Sutra, he also speaks about the importance of controlling the tongue. And in there, he says that there's three basic types of speech. And these three basic types of speech that he talks about are subjects which are also found described in different Smriti Shastras. They're also described by some of our Acharyas and some of their purports in the Gita. He describes as three different categories of discussion. This is a very important subject to understand if we want to learn how to control our tongue as Vachaveg, because it's a very, very powerful urge. He says as Jada, Vada Jalpan Vitanda. Vada is speech that's in the mode of goodness. In a Vada discussion, both participants just want to know what is the truth. And they don't mind if you come and defeat me. If you come and say, oh, you said something wrong. You translated this wrong. You spoke this thing wrong. In a Vada discussion, the persons don't mind because their motivation is to know what is the truth. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that Vada discussions take place between the guru and the disciple, especially. A jalpa discussion, and all three of these words have one general meaning, which is talking or speech, but there's different subtle connotations. Jalpa is speech which is in a mode of passion. And it's characterized in a conversation that one or both participants just want to be heard. And they don't really listen to you. Has anybody ever been in a conversation like that before? How many times already today? This is a vast, vast majority of discussions that go on in this world. People don't really care what the other person has to say. They just want to impress somebody else. This is a jalpa discussion. And a vitanda discussion is in a mode of ignorance, tamogun, and is characterized by one or both participants just want to win. And they don't care, to use Srila Prabhupada's language, they'll do any damn thing to win their argument. They'll say anything. Vridhananda Maharaj once was giving a lecture and he said, just like you're having a conversation with a fellow and you're trying to tell him something and he won't listen to you. So then you, out of frustration, you take a hammer out of your bag and you hit him on the head with a hammer. And he said, there, I've hit you on the head with a hammer. And then he says, no, you didn't. So that's a vitanga discussion. And Jiva Goswami, in his Sandarbhas, he also describes these three. And he says that jalpa and vitanda are not beneficial for bhakti. We don't take part in jalpa and vitanda discussions. When a sadhu is presented with someone who wants to have a jalpa vitanda discussion, he gives them vanchana. He gives them cheating. He smiles at them. He listens to them. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, very nice. You're very learned. Oh, that's so nice. Very good. Just so he can send them on their way as soon as they can. And it's cheating because he doesn't give them any good instruction. Because that person's not interested in good discussion, in good instructions. He doesn't have Shravana Adhikar, which we described something a little bit yesterday, which Jiva Goswami defines as Pranipatena Pariprasena Sevaya. If we want to speak, we have to be a good listener. Shravanam Kirtanam. Before Kirtan comes Shravanam. We should first hear. We should have something to say. We should have something proper to say. Then we can actually speak something proper. If we have said, we've heard something right. So Krishna in the Gita, he describes different types of discussions. He says in the 17th chapter, Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat swadhyaya vyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchate. He says that we should do some austerity in our speech. This is what Rupa Goswami is telling us also. That the first thing is vachaveg. We should control. We should learn to control this urge of speech. This is some austerity. And austerity in speech, Krishna says, consists of First of all, speaking words that are satyam priyam, that are truthful, and that are pleasing, that are beneficial to other persons. And Prabhupada translates that are not agitating to others. And also in swadhyaya vyasanam chayava, in regularly reciting Vedic literatures. That's a very, very important thing. It's a very important thing for brahmacharis also, swadhyaya. We should daily recite Vedic literatures. We should recite the Gita and the Bhagavatam. And most especially, this vachaveg should be controlled when we're representing Srila Prabhupada, either by giving class, or by distributing books, or doing some preaching program or something. We should recite Vedic literature. We should quote Shastra Pramana. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport to this verse in Gita, it's a very, very important thing. Because we're representing Him. Otherwise, people will think all these Hare Krishnas are just some sentimental people. We want to encourage, Srila Prabhupada encouraged everyone to give class. But who is a proper speaker? Srila Prabhupada, in first canto of the Bhagavatam, he says a proper speaker is someone who follows the regulative principles and is a realized person. Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, he describes who is a proper speaker. He describes as two types of speakers. Vakta sarago nirago dvivida parikirtita sarago lalupakami tad uktam him. So some preset. There's a sarag vakta. That speaker who's sarag, he has material desires. And there's a nirag vakta. That speaker who's without material desires. He says that the sarag speaker is their lusty and greedy, and their words don't touch the heart. Upadesham karotyeva na pariksham karoti cha apariksha panidashtam yat loka na sahit tad bhavet. Without careful studying to determine what is the truth, a sarag, a passionate person, gives instructions. So this is the meaning of vachavega. Before we speak, we should do some careful study. What is the proper thing to say? Another thing we should do is we should just slow down. We don't need to speak so much. This is an activity generally of the yogis, but it's also not inappropriate for us, bhalamurkashya monigvam, because mona is strength for the fool. So, I'm such a fool. Many times I don't know what the proper thing to say is. So because I'm a fool, better for me to be quiet and not say anything. And then I don't cause any problem. And there's no harm in being quiet. We should learn that. But always we want to use our tongue. So he says that a sarag vakta, he's a passionate person. He wants to give some instruction without doing careful study. Such teaching, he says, brings about destruction of the people. Just like our acharyas have described, a snake, a poisonous snake, is a very dangerous creature. But if that same snake has a valuable jewel on top of its head, the snake becomes even more dangerous. Because people want to approach it to try to get that jewel. In the same way, a person who's a fool is a dangerous person. But a foolish person who presents himself as being expert, he's even more dangerous. So, Jiva Goswami says, Kama krodari yukto pi kripano pi vishadavan shudva vikasam ayati savakta paramo guru. When someone hears from a person who's a nirag vakta, a speaker without material desires, even if that person's heart is full of lust, anger, and greed, so many vices, still, that person, his heart will become purified. He says that a person who can do so, who can have that kind of effect on other people, he's the best of gurus. prithivim sasishyat. He has a right to speak. Now we may question, why is it that Srila Prabhupada, he tells us to speak? And we're, so many of us have been proven through history, we're not just trying to say something angry or critical, but just the simple fact is that so many devotees have left, even so many big speakers. It's clear, they were saragvaktas. They were speakers with material desires. But Srila Prabhupada told them to speak. So why did he do that? What is the benefit of that? What is the benefit for us to speak? Well, this is an important question. Srila Prabhupada, what is that?
To get purified.
Yes, very good. It's for our benefit. But it also may benefit other people. Srila Prabhupada said, you should speak, but you should just repeat what you've heard. Krishna is Advaita Tattva. But that same one Krishna, the Bhagavatam describes, becomes many. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in one commentary says that Chinmayinam Nanati Pyakyam Abhipritam. In the same way that Krishna is one, but he becomes many, so in the same way, this Sabda Brahma, this transcendental sound, which issues from the mouth of the Saragvata, it's one. That holy name, Nama Shrestha Manamapi Sachi Putra Matra Surupam, that we've heard from Guru, becomes many when we repeat it. And Haridas Thakur, he says, it's like an echo. Just as Krishna is one, but he becomes many in the Ras Lila, so when we hear that one holy name, we hear that katha of that sadhu guru, and we repeat that thing, then it becomes many. Krishna expands himself because he's present there in the form of that hari katha, in the form of that holy name. So if we repeat what we've heard and we understand and appreciate these words don't belong to me, then we're controlling our tongue. Moreover, Krishna gives us a bit of very good advice in Gita, one of my favorite verses. Shrayan sadharma viguna paradharma sunustitat sadharma nidinam shreya paradharma payava. He said, hey Baba, be careful. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't try to do someone else's work. And where does that work begin? That work begins with our tongue. That work begins with our speech. We should speak in the way that we've been instructed to speak. We should be anusar, followers of the essence of our Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada, not anukur, or imitators. The imitator, he sees, oh, Srila Prabhupada, he spoke very harshly to all these scholars at the university, at Harvard University. And he called them hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. So I'll also do like that too. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada, he called the devotees nonsense and rascals. So I'll also do like them. I'll also chastise the devotees. Because that's their vision of Srila Prabhupada. They see the external thing. Because they're bahirmukh janas, they're external persons. They're described as anartha yukta vasta. They have anarthas in their heart. So their darshan of Gurudev is bogya darshan. They see he's something to enjoy, so let me imitate him. That imitation means enjoyment. It means trying to take the position of Guru. And a lot of people do this today. If you don't believe me, please go look on the internet. So many people, they want to be the savior and the purifier of this world. But they imitate Srila Prabhupada by going and speaking some harsh words. And we read yesterday Srila Thakura Bhaktivinoda, when he summarizes this first verse, when he speaks about this first word, he says, Vakyara Vega Artat Bhuto Vag Kari Vachana Prayoga Dvara. The urge to speak means a use of words that create distress for others. So, Vachaveg means that we should control this urge to speak harsh things to other people. Those harsh words are very, very troublesome to other people. They're very, very painful. It's described in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. Pitagdiya karma drisodaryasaya paradayanarpita vidrujonisam parandaraktar vitudandyaruntiras tanmaya tanmavadvid daivavadhanvavadvida. Persons who observe everything with differentiation, who are simply attached to fruitive activities, who are mean-minded, who are always pained to see the flourishing condition of others, and who thus give distress to them by uttering harsh and piercing words, have already been killed by providence. Thus there's no need for them to be killed again by an exalted personality like you. They're already killed by the harsh words of uncouth persons. Similarly, Krishna, he told Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Bahaspatya sanasjetra sadurvai durjaneritai duraktar bhinam atmanam yasamadatumishvaraha. Krishna said, O disciple Brihaspati Uddhava, there's virtually no saintly person in this world who's capable of resettling his own mind after it's been disturbed by the insulting words of uncivilized persons. Na tata tapyate vida puman banais tu maramagai yata tu danti maramasta hyasatam parusheshava. Sharp arrows, they may pierce the chest of a person and they may reach the heart, but those sharp arrows don't cause as much suffering as the arrows of harsh, insulting words that become lodged in the heart when spoken by uncivilized men. So it's a very sober thing. We should control our speech. We should be gentle in our speech. That's also one of the qualities of a brahmachari. They're very gentle in their behavior. And it's a quality of a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav is a gentleman or gentlewoman. Meaning they're gentle. They're gentle in their speech. They don't want to see someone else hurt or harmed. Now we may ask a question. What is the result of someone trying to imitate Guru and trying to chastise others with harsh words? And what is the basic definition of that imitation? Vyasadeva describes in Padma Purana. It's an aparad to give some instruction to someone who doesn't have faith in you. That's the basic definition of a disciple. Disciple is someone who has faith in his teacher. And Jiva Goswami says in Bhakti Sandarbha, even sometimes someone may lose faith in their guru. What do they do then? He says, then they have to go to someone else. Because that guru-disciple relationship won't work anymore. Because they won't be able to follow instructions. He says, don't criticize them. Don't be harsh with them. But you have to go to someone else. Because guru is that person that we have faith in. So if someone doesn't have faith in us, we don't bother speaking to them. It's just going to be a japa ritanda discussion. It's going to be a waste of time. And because if we disobey that instruction of Padma Purana, then what happens? Shuti Smriti Puranadi Pancharati Vidindina Akaintake Hari Bhakti Upadayena Kalpate. It just creates a disturbance. Because we're going against Shastra. Shastra says, do this thing. Vachaveg. Control your speech in this way. Don't speak to anyone who doesn't have faith in you. If you do that, it's just japa vitanda. It's a waste of time. And all that's going to result by that is a disturbance in society. And it's going on today. There's so many people who no one really has any faith in, but because they have a computer and a modem, then they make a lot of noise. And what do? They simply create a disturbance in society. Because they're saragvaktas, they have material desires. Their words aren't beneficial. They're not helpful. But what is the result of their words? What is the result of our speaking harsh words to other people if we haven't been instructed to do that? And there are persons who have been instructed. When your temple president comes to you and says, "Hey, Budmas, rascal, why you didn't come to Mangal Arati this morning? Huh?" Like this. We don't say, "Prabhuji, you shouldn't speak like that to me. You know, that's harsh words. You should control your speech." We shouldn't do like that. He has a right. He has an obligation. The teacher, the leader, and the guru, the father, the mother, the husband, they have an obligation to speak harshly like that for the benefit of those dependents that they have. But what if we're just doing anukor? We're just imitating. What is the result of such speech? It's a very, very bad thing. And for that reason, Jiva Rupa Goswami says, Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. Hey, first of all, if you want to enter this thing, you want to go to Radhakund, you want to go on the pathway to Radhakund, this Upadeshamrita is that pathway to Radhakund. The first thing is Vacha Vegam. Control your speech. Control what you're saying. And this he's saying for our benefit. Not just because he doesn't want to hear it. But because it's for our benefit. Vidura, he told Dhritarashtra in the Udyoga Parva 34-74 of the Mahabharata. Akrosha parivada bhyam bihinsanta buddha dudan vakta papamapadate shamamano vimuchate. Someone who's ignorant person who doesn't know Shastra, who doesn't understand this principle that you should control your speech, he's a fool. Such an ignorant person, he'll want to hurt a wise person. And how will he do that? By criticizing them. By malice. By going and saying some bad things about them. But Vidura tells Dhritarashtra, "Hey, Savadan, be careful." By doing that, that critic takes upon himself the load of that wise person's sin. And that wise person, he gives up that sin by forgiving that ignorant person. A very, very important principle. This is Vachaveg. We should control our speech. Don't go and criticize other people. If you do that, then you're going to take their sinful reactions on your head. And therefore, Sridhar Swami, the original famous commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, he's described nindanam dosha kirtana. We shouldn't do sadhu ninda. What is sadhu ninda? What is ninda? He says nindanam dosha kirtana. You understand this? It's very simple. I think it's the same in Bengali also, in Hindi. That ninda means to do kirtana, someone's dosha, someone's faults. To speak about them. It's not our business. Shreyansa dharma viguna para dharma sunusa. Do what's been given for us to do. If Guru tells you, "Hey, I want you to go and find everyone's faults," I'm going to say, "Yes, Guru Dev." I'll go and do that. But Guru doesn't do that. Maybe he's done it with a few people. I haven't met them yet. But Srila Prabhupada, he writes in his purport, in Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, a Vaishnava is a dosha darshi. He doesn't see fault in anyone else. This is the instruction of the Guru. Don't see fault. See fault in yourself. Because of this thing. If you go and do kirtan, you speak about someone else's faults, then you're their best friend. You're relieving them of all their karma. And it comes to you. Similarly, if someone comes and criticizes us, we can think, "Oh, this is very good, very nice person. He's really my friend." And don't be angry with them. He's just under the modes of material nature. He's speaking like this. Really, he's my friend. Forgive him. And if you do that, then your karma will go to him. Very, very good. And what will happen to his good deeds? Akrushyamana nakroshan manyarivati tikshataha akroshataram nirahati sukritam chashavindati. Atri Muni tells the sadhyas a few chapters later in the same Udyoga Parva. He says, that person who's criticizing you shouldn't be criticized back. How many of us can do that? That's vachaveg. When someone comes and starts criticizing us, either we become very angry or at least we feel that we have to explode. That's not true. That's not right. And we have to defend ourselves. What is a necessity? Let them say. What is it to me? That person who's criticizing us shouldn't be criticized back, because the pain that's felt by the person who endures those criticisms, that pain patiently consumes the critic. And it takes away and assimilates all of his good deeds, which come to you. That's very, very good. A very, very nice arrangement. So this is vachaveg. We should control our speech. We should understand what is vada, japa, and vitanda, what is speech and the mode of goodness. We should speak harikata. We shouldn't just take the process of monobrata like the Mayavadis, as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. Nor should we take to the process of the karmis who have so many things to say. We should control our tongue and speak topics which are worthy of hearing. And if someone doesn't want to listen to us, brother, don't speak to them. It means they don't have adhikara to hear. Krishna doesn't want you to speak that thing. So you be patient and be peaceful. You should have some relishment. Prabhupada also speaks about this thing. What is proper speech? It's a very, very big subject. You can read a couple of other things. Because in this Krishna conscious movement, we're all encouraged to talk like anything. Isn't it? That we should speak Krishna katha, we should preach. So Srila Prabhupada, he speaks about what he expects from the preachers. He said here in Vrindavan in 1972, at Radha-Damodar Temple, in one lecture he gave on nectar devotion, very nice thing. Really, all of you, please listen very attentively and read this. Prabhupada said, the Shraddha has to be increased. Then when you come to the point of Ruchi, Vasudev Kata Ruchi, that's the beginning of our perfection. At the present moment, there's no Ruchi, no taste. There are so many exalted persons, but they have no taste. They've lost all taste. The preachers could not preach properly to create taste in the people in general. It's not the fault of the people. It's the fault of the so-called preachers. How many times? How many of you go on book distribution and preaching sometimes? Amen? Okay, for those of you who do, how many times have you felt frustrated and angry with some person? Why they won't take a book? Why they're just such a nonsense? Has anybody felt like that? So Prabhupada says here, he's chastising us. It's not their fault, it's your fault. Well, he said, it's not their fault, it's the fault of the so-called preachers, because they could not create taste. They wanted to take the place of Krishna. We become angry, we want to chastise them. It means we want to take the place of Krishna. It's not our business. That was their purpose, imitation of Krishna, imitation of God. That will not do. You have to create taste, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. So vachavegam also means ruchi, that we should have some taste for what we're speaking. And the proof of that taste is that if someone else doesn't want to hear it, if they've blocked their ears for the nectar that you want to pour down their ears, then you're happy. You just keep it inside of your heart. And you have a big smile on your face, you're not bothered. They don't have qualification to hear it. So don't speak it to them. And you can speak to them in another way. Just by your happiness. How many of you read Jiva Dharma? The Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Nice book. Sannyasi Thakur, in the first part of the book, such a personality. He's on the platform of Paramahamsa, Mayavadi Sannyasi. He surpassed the stages of Bahudak and Kutichak and all these different stages of sannyas. Very, very learned, Veda Vedanta. He was staying in Kashi. That person became a Vaishnav. How did he become a Vaishnav? Who sold him a book? He didn't get any book. Who preached to him? Nobody preached to him. What did they tell him? Nobody said a word to him. How did he become a Vaishnav? One day, he was walking in a crowded bazaar in Kashi, and he saw some fellow, some kind of sadhu, with some strange tilak that he hadn't seen before. He was used to the normal tripundra the Mayavadis wear. But this fellow had two lines, urdhapundra, going up. And what is this? And then he looked at that fellow, and he saw that he was crying. I don't know, why is he crying? And then he got a little closer and he heard something from him. Ha Guranga, Ha Nitai, Ha Nitai. He was crying like that. And this sannyasi, what is this? What was this? Guranga? Nitai? What is... And then he lost sight of that sadhu in the crowd. But his mind became agitated. Who is that person? What? Why is he crying? And he kept looking for him. He couldn't find him. He asked someone, I saw some person with this kind of tilak, and he was crying and doing like this and saying, Ha Guranga Ha Nitai. Oh, those are those Hare Krishnas in Navadweep. Acha. So he went there, and he met the devotees, and he became a devotee. So that Babaji, that person, he preached to that sannyasi. But he didn't say one word to him. He preached to him by his behavior. So this is also Vachavegam. We should understand that our actions speak louder than our words. That's a real preacher. Srila Prabhupada told everybody to preach, but Srila Prabhupada also wanted us to be qualified as preachers. In 1976, on May 2nd, in Fiji, Srila Prabhupada had a conversation with Guru Kripa Prabhu, who's now here in Vrindavan. Guru Kripa asked him, what if sometimes a disciple, he may go to preach, but he's not preaching in exactly the same spirit of his guru? Very good question. So this Vachaveg also means we should be following in the mood of our Gurudev. Not just that we learn a bunch of things and just start spouting it off like a tape recorder. Prabhupada replied, therefore he's not to preach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Janma Sartika Kari para upakar. Go do good to other persons, but first of all, do good to yourself. First of all, you become a real preacher. Then you go to preach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never sent a neophyte to preach. For neophytes, the preaching is not their business. Neophytes should stay in the temple and worship the deity. And for those who have understood the philosophy, applied the philosophy in their life, they should go for preaching. This is Vatravegam, Manasakrodavegam, Jivavegam, Udurapasavegam, Etanvegam, Yo, Visahita Dira. If you can be Dira to these six urges, then Sarvamapimam, Prithivim Sasisha, then you can preach. Prabhupada said, if you're actually perfectly carrying out the orders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you're preaching. Otherwise, you'll do wrongly and mislead. Don't do it. If you remain blind, don't try to lead other blind men. That is misleading. First of all, open your eyes. Everything is there. Nobody should do anything whimsically. If you do whimsically or concoctively, that will be a failure. It will not be effective. So Srila Prabhupada, these are Prabhupada's words. Prabhupada wanted us to become real preachers. And that begins from controlling the tongue and not speaking in a passionate way to people who don't want to hear us, to people who don't have faith in us. It means by repeating what we've heard from Srila Prabhupada in the Shastra, especially when we're giving class or we're doing some service, because just like when we go on the altar to do artik, address the deity, just like Mother Yashoda Maya could probably tell you, I think she maybe had been here, I think about a year ago, roughly a year ago, there was a big disturbance in Vrindavan. Because some fellow came from Delhi and he gave some money to one of the pandas at Bunki Bihari Temple. He told him, would you please dress Krishna in a special way? He put a Western shirt on him and some Levi's jeans. and give him a handphone instead of his bansuri, instead of his flute. So that Pujari took the money and he did like that. All of her Vrindavan, the Brijbasis, became furious. They did a bun. They stopped everything. They closed everything up that day. So someone may protest, but he's a Pujari and his service is to address Krishna. No. His qualification as Pujari is to follow the orders of his guru. He's not doing that service on his own. We're doing that service in the order of our Gurudev. When we go on the altar and do artik, and we worship the deity, we don't give Krishna a hand phone. We give him a flute. And we offer the things which our Gurudev has told us to give. So when we sit and we speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, or when we speak to the devotees, or some new person, that's also deity worship. It's not our business. We have no adhikar to do that. Our Gurudev has adhikar for that preaching. But we're his representative because he can't be there. So we should use those articles which he's given us to offer. We don't offer a hand phone to Krishna. And we don't sit and tell some mundane stories or something. Or we might even tell some mundane story. It is very relevant. Sometimes Prabhupada told some story about Charlie Chaplin or this thing or that thing. He used it like that. But in general, we should quote Shastra. And if we use something, it should be relevant to the point. Because we're speaking on behalf of our Guru Janas. So this is something about Vachavegam. I was hoping also to get to Manasa Vegam. But this Vachavegam is such an important thing. I wanted to go a little bit longer on this. So let's just stop for a couple minutes. And we're going to drink a little water and stretch our legs and come back in just 5 minutes.